Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on our show, Dean Shelley Berg of the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami speaks with Charles Greenfield about the 30th annual Festival Miami's exciting concert events coming up. Actor and founder Paul Tay and business manager Ann Kelly reveal what's coming up for the award-winning Mad Cat Theater with our contributor Judith Bishop. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and our arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Back in 1950, the Miami Beach Municipal Auditorium hosted the Legends of the Day. The television boom of the 1960s brought the Ed Sullivan Show, Miss USA, and Miss Universe pageants, the Dick Clark Show as well, among many, many others. In 1964, Jackie Gleason was offered the opportunity to film his show at the auditorium, and the country heard that, quote, Miami Beach audiences are the greatest in the world, unquote. TV broadcasts continued in the 70s when famed architect Morris Lapidus renovated the site, which was renamed the Miami Beach Theater of the Performing Arts. Broadway shows made it a regular stop. In 2007, the theater was again reborn, undergoing a multi-million dollar renovation. Now operated by Live Nation, it continues its illustrious tradition as both a great theatrical and performance center. With us today to see what greatness the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater will bring South Florida this season is their general manager, Mr. Brandon Berry. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Brandon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Ed. It's a real pleasure to be back.
Hey, let me quickly run down a brief, extremely brief list of legends that have performed at the theater over the decades. Touring Broadway shows, Gypsy included Angela Lansbury, Timbuktu with Eartha Kitt, Carousel with Robert Goulet, West Side Story with Debbie Allen. Memorable performances included pianist Vladimir Horowitz, Itzhak Perlman, and Rudolf Nureyev. More Broadway shows, My Fair Lady included Rex Harrison, Sugar Babies with Mickey Rooney and Ann Miller, Cabaret with Joel Grey starring. The 1990s saw contemporary artists Mark Anthony, El Puma, and the Gypsy Kings, Tony Bennett, Liza Minnelli, Seal, and Lenny Kravitz, and that is just the tip of the immense iceberg of national and international talent that has played this wonderful venue. How do you feel about working at a performance location with such an incredible production history?
I think all of us that work at the theater at are extremely excited to be a part of such a wonderful, rich history on Miami Beach. I mean, Miami Beach, you have to remember, was Vegas before there was Vegas, right? There was great stuff. Frank Sinatra performing with Elvis Presley at the Fountain Blue and things like that. You know, the Beatles had one of their, I think, their second performance in the United States right here on Miami Beach.
And the Ed Sullivan Show.
The Ed Sullivan Show, that's right. So it's there's really been some great history here. And we've been fortunate enough while we've been a part of the theater to work with artists such as Sting, Janet Jackson, Jerry Seinfeld, Guns N' Roses, and even last year we had the opportunity to work with President Obama himself. So we've really been very fortunate that these performers and these celebrities, number one, want to come to Miami Beach and add to our culture there, and number two, perform at such a wonderful theater with such a rich history, and continue that tradition as we move into the next millennium here.
Since you mentioned it, I want to say this. Our great president kindly let our show continue on the air as scheduled. He will have his press address today on WLRN at 3 o'clock. Isn't he kind?
That's awesome. Fantastic.
He knows we need to get you on. How has Live Nation transformed the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater?
Well, the biggest thing that we did was when we renovated the theater in 2007, although we did quite a bit cosmetically to the facility, the biggest change that we did is we made the theater a little bit more adaptable to the types of events that we need to attract in order to be able to keep it busy and keep it going. And one of the biggest things that we did is we removed all of the permanent seating from the edge of the stage back to about where the soundboard is, and we replaced it with a terrace style level three terrace style levels there that can be used for three different purposes. We can still do reserve seats, and we'll put those down for shows with reserve seating. We can also do general admission, standing room only shows in that area. And then we can also even do seated round tables for dinners, special events, private parties, cabaret type performances. So one of the biggest things that we did was we made the room a little bit more amenable to different setups so that we could accommodate different types of performances and groups coming in.
And at any given moment, I dare say you could open up some space for a mosh pit.
Absolutely. Sure.
Guns N' Roses. Come on.
We like to do that during the ballet festival, actually. So.
I'd love to see that. Tell us about your new black box, which is so exciting, backstage at the Fillmore, a new venue.
We're super excited about the way that this is going. We've had some great shows back there so far. In fact, I know you have Ann Kelly and Paul Tay on the show later today. Mm-hmm. Mad Cat Theater actually presented some performances back there this year during South Beach Comedy Festival. Hmm. On top of that, we've been able to work with Emil Pineda, who is was the recipient this year of the Best Local Comic by the Miami New Times. He did a performance back there with our friends the Have-Nots. Our friends at the Rhythm Foundation are doing their annual fundraiser back there the same night that we have Julieta Venegas going on. So it's a 200-capacity room backstage where we can do performances, we can do cocktail parties, we can do all sorts of different types of events and shows, and we're making it available to the general public to come in and produce shows on their own there, especially some of the nonprofit groups, the big arts programs that we see on Miami Beach, and hopefully be able to help cultivate and continue to grow the rich culture and the energy that's already on Miami Beach.
That is magnificent. Can you talk about the not-for-profit discount or?
Sure. Yeah. The city of Miami Beach actually has a program in place to nonprofit groups, and nonprofits can go and apply for what's known as a rent waiver application. Mm-hmm. And that waives the rent on the facility
for not-for-profit
wow. groups. That's available on the Miami Beach website. So if you go to miamibeachfl.gov, you can apply for the rent waiver application. And then if you're granted the rent waiver application, the city reimburses the theater for some of the costs, and you're responsible for some of the other out-of-pocket expenses. But it makes the mm-hmm. theater a lot more affordable for nonprofit groups to be able to come in and utilize.
Now, of course, the big question of the day, there's going to be a transformation there in that area, and we've got about five more minutes left and a lot of material to cover. So mm-hmm. briefly, Brandon, tell us how will that affect the venue?
Well, I think everything is still up in the air as far as the design of the facility goes. As you know, the city has selected one of the developers to move forward in negotiations, and they bring an amazing architect to the table in Rem Koolhaas. So Rem Koolhaas, who's a Pritzker Prize-winning architect, is going to be juxtaposed next to Frank Gehry over at the New World Center. Mm. And, of course, our building was designed most recently by Morris Lapidus. So really just three amazing architects right in the same area. As far as the theater goes, we're honored to be a part of a city and a culture that cares as much about arts and history as the residents of Miami Beach do. And we're really excited for the city of Miami Beach during this transformation. I think it's an important time for them, and it's an exciting time for the city.
Well, Brandon, we have about 3 minutes to run through your long season, of course. More information always available at FillmoreMB.com, or you can call 305-673-7300. So let's start running down as much as we can of your upcoming season. Brandon Berry, the general manager of the Fillmore, joining us. What's coming up?
Well, we've got a number of big shows coming up. Number one, the one that's not on our website right now, but it's going to add to the illustrious performers that are at the theater. Justin Timberlake is actually going to perform at the Fillmore next Friday night.
SRO.
So it's going to be an amazing show. And those tickets are available through Priceless.com.
Is Jay-Z on that show with him?
No, that's after the Jay-Z show at the stadium.
Okay.
But then right after that, we've got Enanitos Verdes, a great Spanish rock band, on August 18th. We've got a performance with a DJ named Zed on
hey,
September 6th.
Hey, wait a minute. 6th. That used to be my DJ name.
Zed Bell? the International Ballet Festival of Miami will be returning on September 7th and 8th. Andrea Cepeda, a great Colombian artist, will be in on September 14th. The Pet Shop Boys will be in on September 12th. Ged Emela, who is an amazing French comic, will be returning to Miami Beach on September 28th.
Tell him about Jerry Seinfeld. You can meet this wonderful French comedian.
On the webisodes, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. So check it out. Julieta Venegas on Friday, October 4th. Roscoe on October 10th. Emily Sandy on October 11th.
Is she world music talent?
She is world music and R&B.
Yeah.
More of an R&B performer. India Irie on October 13th.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Austin Mahone on October 17th. Jake Miller on November 1st. John Legend on November 3rd. Going to be an amazing show again. Widespread Panic returns with Bobby Lee Rogers and Roosevelt Collier on November 5th. I know Bobby is a guest on your show.
Yeah,
quite,
and a great local.
Quite often, right?
We claim him as local now.
Yeah, he is. He is
killer
a local
guitarist.
Now. Amazing. Cruella is here on November 8th, and the Nutcracker on December 8th, the Fresh Beat Band on December 14th. On top of that, we should also mention, as a tie-in with WLRN and of course, the Fillmore, Il Volo has released a DVD that was produced at the Fillmore Miami Beach.
Earlier this year,
In conjunction with PBS. And we're about to release a second special with Il Volo later on this month for Christmas, for the holiday season.
Wow.
So
a
lot of exciting stuff going on at the theater. And again, we're excited about all the support and look forward to the upcoming season.
I'm dizzy with excitement. Now, they also have Miami Beach resident pre-sale discounts available. They have student and senior discounts. Go online to find out more information. FillmoreMB.com or call 305-673-7300. Mr. Brandon Berry, General Manager of the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater. It's always a joy to have you join us. And good luck to you this year.
Thanks so much, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Judith Bishop speaks with the co-founders of award-winning Mad Cat Theater, Paul Tay and Ann Kelly. Chef Norman Van Aken dishes out a word on food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Well, it's the 30th anniversary for the biggest month-long university music festival in South Florida. Here's Charles Greenfield and his esteemed guest with all of the exciting information.
The University of Miami's Frost School of Music's Festival Miami continues its role as lead-off hitter for the South Florida cultural arts season. Since its inception in 1983 under former music dean William Hipp, Festival Miami has changed from mostly Latin-based programming to a more encompassing series of programs. Under UM Dean of Music Shelley Berg, the series now consists of 25 concerts divided into four themes: great performances, jazz and beyond, creative American music, and music of the Americas. Festival Miami's 30th season begins October 1st and ends November 1st. Over the years, Festival Miami has presented world premieres, including String Quartet No. 4 by Elliot Carter in 1986, Double Concerto for Flute, Double Bass, and Chamber Orchestra by Carlos Serenac in 1990, Concerto for Horn and Orchestra by Thomas Sleeper in 2000, and Sinfonia No. 2 by Roberto Sierra in 2005. Festival Miami 2013 opens October 1st with renowned Latin pop artist and South Florida resident Gloria Estefan in a concert called The Standards, and is followed on Friday, October 4th, with the very popular violinist Joshua Bell playing with bassist Edgar Meyer in Meyer's Florida premiere of his Double Concerto for Violin and Double Bass. Festival Miami 2013 concludes November 1st at the Arts Center in collaboration with Jazz Roots, a Larry Rosen jazz series, and presents Pink Panther at 50. In a tribute to Hollywood, the Henry Mancini One Night Only program features an all-star roster of special guest artists backed by the University of Miami Frost School of Music's extraordinary Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra. Guest soloists include international superstar John Secada. With the exception of the closing evening at the Arts Center, all events take place in UM's Gusman Center. Recently, I had the pleasure to talk with Dean Shelleyberg about Festival Miami 2013. Dean Berg, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Charles. I'm glad to be here.
Dean Berg, what are your goals for Festival Miami with its four-part structure, from great performances to creative American music? How do they conform to our special South Florida cultural environment?
Well, our cultural environment is very diverse. And unlike some other cities that are so diverse, it's also very unified in that the cultures mix together very well. And so we have this multicultural festival that I think is just perfect for the South Florida environment. There's something for everybody, but there's also a chance to move outside of your comfort zone a little bit.
Now, many listeners may not know that in addition to your broad responsibilities as dean of UM's Frost School of Music, you're equally gifted in classical as you are in jazz piano, as well as your work in arranging, writing, and composition. With that said, what special qualities do you look for in a performer in the selection process in planning Festival Miami?
That is a wonderful question, and it's the nexus, it's the crux of everything. Because what we're concerned with is what music is all about. It's making that connection. The performer that makes a connection to the audience, that when the audience leaves, they say, I'm so glad I went. I'm so glad I didn't stay home or do something else or watch my television, because that changed my life in some way.
Now, Festival Miami 2013 fires up October 1st with probably our most famous homegrown artist, Gloria Estefan, seven-time Grammy winner. You've said you got goosebumps listening to her in the studio. Who is this special singer? What pop standards will she bring to the stage with UM's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra? And we are in legend territory, aren't we?
We are in legend territory, and the 600 lucky guests that night will be in the most intimate setting you could ever be in with Gloria Estefan, a UM alum, a UM trustee, and a world-renowned and loved by the world artist. This is something she's wanted to do for a long time. She and I produced a record together of great standards, from Embraceable You to Good Morning Heartache to The Way You Look Tonight to They Can't Take That Away From Me. She'll be backed up by the wonderful Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra, all Frost School of Music students. Very special night.
On October 4th, violinist Joshua Bell joins bassist composer Edgar Meyer in his double concerto for violin and double bass with the Frost School Symphony Orchestra. Who is this composer, and why did you pick this particular composition, an unusual combination?
It is an unusual combination. Edgar Meyer is not only a composer, he is universally acclaimed as perhaps the greatest classical bassist in history. He's a stunning artist himself, and so he composed this double concerto for himself to play with Joshua Bell. And so when you have the performer, also the composer, working with the young orchestra, what an insight they're going to gain, and the audience is going to hear a Florida premiere of a really remarkable work.
You have a total of 10 classical music concerts during Festival Miami. There's Grammy Award-winning soprano Hilla Plitman on October 6th, lyric soprano Elizabeth Caballero on the 18th, Filipino pianist Cecile Licod on the 20th, playing Busoni and Gottschalk, the Manhattan Piano Trio on the 16th, and more. Give us a brief survey of these talented artists.
Each one of them is a gem, obviously. That's why they were selected. Elizabeth Caballero is our outstanding alumna, and so her performance is going to be with two new faculty, Kevin Short and Robin Redman, who are both Metropolitan Opera singers, so that's a powerful night. Cecile Licod was handpicked by the chair of piano at our school, Santiago Rodriguez. All of her music will be by pianists who are also composers, so how interesting is that? They write the hardest stuff, I want you to know. Hilla Plitman will be performing with our wind ensemble, a piece called Labyrinth of Love, which is all texts about love written by women over 2,000 years. I mean, these are really astonishing performances.
Now, on October 22nd and 23rd, you present the Costa Rica National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by eight-time Grammy Award winner, composer, conductor, orchestrator, Jose Cerebrier. How did you arrange arrange that? And tell us about these musicians and their program. I believe you're playing as well, Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue.
I am. Jose Cerebrier was the founding artistic director of Festival Miami 30 years ago, and this is the 30th anniversary, as you know. So we thought, how fitting to bring back this great musician on the 30th anniversary of the festival that he started with former Dean Bill Hipp. He'll be conducting the orchestra, which he's conducted that group many times. He's asked me to play Rhapsody in Blue. Maestro Cerebrier and I recorded Rhapsody in Blue with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. So it's familiar territory for us. We'll also be featuring Sharon Bazzali, who's one of the great flutists of our time.
Now, jazz lovers get a treat with trumpet legend Arturo Sandoval on October 26th. Tell us about this legendary jazz man, his style of music.
He may be the greatest trumpeter in the world, jazz or classical. And so as a result, what you see is, you know, amazing. He's a consummate performer as well. He never forgets the audience. That's just going to be one of those on 10 nights, a supercharged night.
And there's Benjamin Britten's 100th birthday celebration on October 29th. How do you blow out the candles for the evening? What can we expect?
Well, one thing you can expect is that our professor, Tony Boutte, is a Britten scholar, and he's discovered some new works by Britten that have never been performed.
Oh,
so not only do we celebrate the 100th birthday, we get world premieres, and we'll have our chorale, we'll have faculty members, as well as Dr. Boutte. It's going to be quite a night.
And then Festival Miami 2013 ends November 1st at the Arts Center with the Pink Panther at 50, with naturally UM's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra. First, describe their special sound, and briefly describe their program and why you end with them.
Well, the Mancini Institute Orchestra is our students. They're the same students you'll hear in the Frost Symphony. But what we do is we cross-train them to understand a variety of styles and genres so that they can bring a bigger perspective in their own careers. And so what more fitting than to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Henry Mancini's most famous creation, the Pink Panther, along with Henry's daughter Monica Mancini singing, UN alum John Cicada, and others. That's going to be a really fun night.
Well, I just want to thank you, Dean Shelleyberg, for appearing on South Florida Arts Beat.
Charles, it's always my pleasure to be with you and to be on WLRN.
UM's Frost School of Music Festival Miami has become, over the last quarter century, the calendar starting point for South Florida's cultural season. But more than a mere filler series during the preseason, the festival now represents the region's growing sense of musical continuity and integration into a larger national and international musical world. For more information and tickets, call 305-284-4940 or go to its website, festivalmiami.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, I'm Ed Bell. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken renders a word on food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now, our theater contributor, Judith Bishop, catches up with an award-winning Miami Shores-based theater company.
Shakespeare asked, "What's in a name?" That's a very good question, and it's the first question I'll ask our guests today, Paul Tay and Ann Kelly of the Mad Cat Theater Company. After we unravel the mystery behind the name Mad Cat, we'll hear about their current season and current accolades. Both New Times and the Sun Post have named Mad Cat the best theater company in Miami. Mad Cat was founded in 2000. Its mission is to explore, through original drama, the darker regions of our mental and emotional landscape. Paul Tay is the founder, artistic director, and guiding beacon. He is an actor and a director, praised by critics, who, playing off the name Mad Cat, often call him a mad genius. Paul's goal is presenting low-budget, high-impact theater. He's directed over 100 productions, written some, and starred in many. As an actor, Paul Tay is best known nationally as Barry, the quirky money launderer in the hit television series Burn Notice, which is set and filmed here in Miami. He is a member of SAG and AFTRA and has appeared in CSI Miami and American Horror Story. When Paul is spreading his wings and shooting those television series, Mad Cat is run by his business alter ego, the capable Ann Kelly, who also joins us today. Ann is chairman of the board and business manager. She is a winning combination of a passion for theater and a BS in economics from Auburn. In addition to her other duties, Ann is the company's grant writer. That's a key role in securing highly competitive funding. Paul Tay and Ann Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat. Let's start at the beginning. Mad Cat Theater. Very interesting name. How did you come up with it and what does it mean?
I came up with the name in the summer of 2000. I was thinking about launching a company, and I wanted something that kind of had two meanings, you know, and using the word mad as in, you know, upset, angry, and also crazy or different definitions that would define what that was. Kind of like bands when I was growing up, and a lot of bands had double entendres in their names, you know, like Cheap Trick and AC/DC and things like that. So I think that it was thinking about that, Sex Pistols, something that when you heard it, you were like, that doesn't really sound like a theater company. So you would stand apart from things. And I think also too, you know, being a big animal lover, and someone who loves cats, I wanted to, I don't know, incorporate that. At one point, I thought about calling the company Funky Monkey because I thought the Funky Monkey Theater Company would be something that, you know, would be a lot of fun to say. But I didn't like the letter F, you know, and the letter M is a stronger letter, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Now, the old adage says that a cat has 9 lives, but you're in season 13. And what do you think is the secret and the essence of Mad Cat that's perpetuated it and gotten so many awards and accolades?
I think the main thing is that we work together as a company. Paul is our leader, but everybody within the company has a specific role, and we do those roles, but then we still come together as these collective artists, and we just make it happen, and it just works, and something that I'm very proud to be a part of.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on, and I also think, too, it's about not really having a formula. You know, Bob Dylan always said that, you know, an artist should never arrive at a certain place, and once they do, it's time to move on. You should always be in the process of trying to get somewhere. And I think that adopting that philosophy as a theater company that, you know, there are a lot of great plays that are produced that have been published and previously done. And I just thought, well, what new are we going to say with these things unless we're deconstructing them or reinventing them? But I think that when you're doing original work, there's always that risk of failure. And it's that risk of failure that I think propels us as a company. You know, having your back against the wall, you're going to create out of a necessity to please yourself. And if you're pleasing yourself, I think that your audience will then be a part of that. Plus, when you go to see theater and you don't know the play and you don't know the title and it's a new work and you're not familiar with the playwright, I think you're more attentive. I think that your ears are pricked up in a way that you're going to listen differently than you would if you're like, oh, I'm going to go see another play by David Mamet. You most likely have an idea of what you're going to go see. You know.
That's right. No preconceived notions.
Yes.
You have an original play coming up on August 15th. It's a production written by Jessica Farr, and Paul, you're directing it. And I love the combination, bipolar disease, suicide, and high fashion.
Yes.
Tell us more. What's the title and what's it really about?
Well, the title is Blow Me, which is in reference to the title character, Isabella Blow, who was a fashion editor for Vogue in America and also for Tatler magazine. And she discovered Alexander McQueen and Philip Tracy and the models Stella Tennant and Sophie Dahl. Right now, Alexander McQueen is probably the most famous, popular fashion designer in the world, even though he's been dead several years. And that's what the royalty wears. They wear Alexander McQueen dresses and Philip Tracy hats. And this woman is responsible for discovering them. Jessica, you know, felt a need to bring people's attention to who this person was. And now she's becoming more and more popular. Lady Gaga, for instance, was totally obsessed with Isabella Blow, and her style is basically a hodgepodge of everything that Isabella used to wear. And she's now friends with Philip Tracy and actually went to go work for Philip Tracy as a part-time milliner.
Was Hats totally, by Lady Gaga.
Right. She tried. I don't think she did very well. I think Philip told her, you know, I love you, but it's time to go back to making music at what you do best.
What you do best, obviously, is win accolades from the critics. You've been named the best theater company by the Sun Post and by New Times, and that's really an impressive track record. When you get a new play, Paul, from an artistic standpoint, and Anne from a business standpoint, what jumps off the page at you? Why do you say this is the one that we're going to do?
Well, they kind of sometimes just happen, in the sense that each year when we talk about the plays that we do, it usually comes in that we're writing a grant for something for the following year. And we just start talking. And sometimes we almost don't even end up doing what we originally thought we were going to do. So with this play, it didn't even exist this time last year.
Right.
So then all of a sudden, Paul would call and say, hey, Jessica's working on a piece about Isabella Blow. And then it just started materializing, and then just the discussions and what I was talking about earlier, us working as a team. And then, you know, really depending on what the title is, you know, we just then come up with a marketing plan and we say, how can we get the word out?
Right. And for me, it's about an obsession. You know, when I become obsessed with something, that's when I know it's the show that we need to do. I kind of cut my teeth in this town working for John Rodas at Area Stage back in the 90s over on Lincoln Road. And John, he would announce a season and then, you know, he would maybe do one of those plays or two, because he felt that if he's not totally invested in what he was doing at that moment, then no one else is going to be either. So you try not to think too far down the road. You try to stay totally committed to what you're doing in the moment and be immediate. So it's kind of really about obsessions, whatever we're obsessed about at that time, and that's what we focus on.
And they change.
Yeah.
Would it be fair to say that icons are your current obsession? You're going from a fashion icon to Bob Dylan, more than a musical icon.
Right.
Tell us about that play. It's a multimedia homage to Dylan.
Yeah. It's still in the embryonic stages in the fact that I'm creating it. And, you know, to me, I think Bob Dylan's probably the most important artist of the 20th century, you know, him and Picasso, in terms of the people that they've influenced. And I'm focusing right now on the period of his life from the motorcycle accident in 1966 to his conversion to Christianity in 79. And it's not really about him, but it's more using the music that he created and the characters that he wrote about and exploring those characters.
Interesting. Now, are you going to be able to use his original music, or are you going to have covers of it?
We may do covers. We may have some live stuff that's inspired by his music. I have to look into all that still. It's like I said, it's still in a very embryonic stage.
That must be a thrilling stage, though,
yes,
to feel that creative process. Well, we thank you both for joining us. Anne Kelly, Paul Tay, thank you. Mad Cat Theater, a place to go on August 15th when their new production opens.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you very much.
The Mad Cat Theater is located at the Miami Theater Center. That's at 9816 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Miami Shores. For more information, you can log on to madcattheater.com or telephone 866-811-4111. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC, CNBC, and WNET. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, avocados. I was out walking Bounder, the little dog our son Justin brought home from a shelter a few years ago, and was almost back home when I spotted a MacArthur Dairy milk crate brimming over with a harvest of 20 or more backyard-grown avocados on the edge of a neighbor's lawn. Perfectly imperfect, green, firm to the point of taut, and warming in the sun, waiting complete ripeness several days from now. I was delighted to see my neighbors had left a recycled tin cup by the avocados in the milk crate with a little handwritten sign that said, 50 cents apiece, please, trusting the universe in the process. I pulled $2 out of my jeans and stuffed them in the cup and picked out two heavy avocados. My math was not off. My mom taught me that tipping was a good habit. Plus, that handwriting was of a child of 7 or so. I have been eating Florida avocados for a long time now. I've even had trees grace the lawns of some of the places we have lived. There were times when I ordered avocados for my kitchens exclusively from California. The Haas avocado, as it is known by the variety that grows there, is very rich and wonderful, yet I increasingly feel the avocado growing in the trees from around us are more exciting to taste. It's somehow more personal. I envision one day of tasting them from yards all around us to see which family growers have the most delectable avocados of all. It would be like knowing the location of a special secret fishing hole where the biggest spiny lobsters are hiding. I cradled my avocados in the crook of my arm, and Bounder led us back home. I set the avocados down on the windowsill outside of our kitchen to ripen and waited as one must in the world of Mother Nature. When the avocado's moment of readiness finally signaled me through her dimpled and darkening dress, I slid a curved knife around the soft roundness, taking care not to nick. My blade moved as if heated and moving through butter. I set the large pit in a bowl, eased off a piece of the fruit, salted it just the barest amount, and slid it into my mouth. At first, not much. The fat creaminess found readily in the Haas variety wasn't there. But then I took the time to note its texture and understated sweetness. Heaven! This called for some inspired cooking. So the following day, after considerable prep work, I made some braised beef shanks, Brazilian style. The cooking there is vastly informed by Africa. But this is also the kind of globally loved low and slow cooking that really attracts me. My homemade stock is mixed with the measured release gelatinous luxury found only deep within the tough cuts of meat to create a mouthfeel that no 2 minute steak ever could. At the end of the braising, I add in coconut milk, which provides what most Western chefs find in heavy cream, but, like comparing avocados, different. I also add peanuts, which provide texture and tradition. Then I add in avocado. The softness is just the right touch to counter the bold meatiness of beef shanks. This meal has some of the same rich power and deliciousness of a great gumbo, another dish of African ancestry. I took the stew out of the cauldron I'd made it in, ladled it into black antique terracotta bowls, and draped just culled sections of perfectly ripe avocado on top. I struck Florida gold, and it was right in our own backyard. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Philly Cheesesteak. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Deborah, it's been too long.
Much too long, and I have tons to share, so I'm thrilled to be back on the air with you, Ed.
Off to the races.
And here we go, beginning with this very weekend and this evening through Sunday. It's the Alternative Theater Festival over at Florida International University in the Wertheim Performing Arts Center. And this weekend they're featuring Glengarry Glen Ross with a famous David Mamet play. It's typical Mamet, so language is pretty strong, but it's really one of the great American plays, I believe, of this current era. So definitely get out and check out the Alternative Theater Festival at FIU. Also in theater this weekend, it's closing weekend for Rated P for Parenthood at Actors Playhouse at the Miracle Theater in Coral Gables. And this is a delightful new musical review that chronicles the 21st century joys and frustrations of raising children. And that's running just through the end of this weekend, so make sure you get over to the Actors Playhouse at the Miracle Theater. Also soon to close, although we've got two more weeks to get out and see what our local critics have heralded as theater at its best, it's the production of Good People by David Lindsay Abair, and that's over at Gables Stage in Coral Gables, an extremely thought-provoking look at how we perceive poverty in the U.S., and that's a brilliant production over at Gables Stage in Coral Gables. Next weekend, August 17th through the 24th, the Brazilian Film Festival of Miami is back. This is one of our annual wonderful festivals. The 17th annual event is opening at the North Beach Bandshell on the 17th with a free outdoor movie night. And then the rest of the curated and juried screenings will take place throughout the county at the Colony Theater, at Miami Beach Cinematheque, at the Shore Club, and that's running the 17th through the 24th all over town. A couple of great museum exhibits that I wanted to highlight, and they include at the Museum of Contemporary Art, they're presenting Dawood Bey, Picturing People, which is an expansive career survey of this Chicago-based photographer's work, and he first gained notoriety as a photographer for his acclaimed series, Harlem, USA. And at the same time as the Dawood Bey exhibit is up, we also can see Open Systems, which features selections from the permanent collection, drawing upon many of the themes that are in the Dawood Bey exhibit, two really wonderful exhibits to take advantage of. And then there's a really special event coming up on August 16th. It's MoCA's Optic Nerve 15 Film Festival, and in it they feature short films by emerging artists and filmmakers. So lots to take advantage of over at the Museum of Contemporary Art in North Miami. At History Miami, here in downtown Miami, they are featuring Opa-locka, Mirage City, exploring one of South Florida's truly unique architectural communities. Opa-locka founded its architectural iconic language based on stories and names of characters from the Arabian Tales, and it has resulted in a fairly eccentric, wonderful, exotic Middle Eastern urban oasis in the middle of our tropical paradise. That's up through September 8th at History Miami. You can also see Tropical Dreams, A People's History of South Florida, on exhibit there as well. Back on the beach at the Jewish Museum, phenomenal, really phenomenal exhibits up that are on view through September 15th at the Jewish Museum of Florida, FIU. And the first is Bat Mitzvah Comes of Age, which celebrates the now 90-year anniversary of the first American girl who was bat mitzvahed on March 18th, 1922. Her name was Judith Kaplan and daughter of a rabbi, Rabbi Mordechai Kaplan. And she was the first American girl to have a bat mitzvah. Notably, it came 2 years after American women received the right to vote. And the exhibit marks this 90th anniversary by featuring the remarkable story of how in less than a century, girls, their parents, and rabbis challenged and changed communal values and practice to institute this now widespread observed Jewish ritual. Also on view at the Jewish Museum of Florida, FIU, are Carol Freed, Freed on Fire, and posters from the Hans Sachs collection. Plus, a wonderful special event there coming up as well on August 22nd at 6:30 p.m. The Miami Jewish Film Festival and the Jewish Museum of Florida, FIU, are co-presenting the exclusive Florida premiere of the film Stealing Klimt. And this critically acclaimed film tells the story of the decades-long struggle of Maria Altman, who was a Viennese Jew, to recover 5 Gustav Klimt original paintings that were stolen from her family by the Nazis in 1938, to be screened on August 22nd at 6:30 p.m. at the Jewish Museum of Florida, FIU. At the Miami Science Museum, you can see exhibits including Hurricanes, Moving Things, Water, Wind, and Weather, Miami in a Changing Climate, Nano, Florida Birds, and of course all of their permanent exhibits as well. So there are only a few thousand reasons to go over to Miami Science Museum, 3280 South Miami Avenue. And then on August 22nd, I know you and I were just talking about this offline, Ed, The Coral Gables Congregational Church's season ender for their brilliant summer concert series. And it features none other than John Pizzarelli, the world-renowned jazz guitarist and singer, one of the prime interpreters of the Great American Songbook. And that's, again, the Coral Gables Congregational Church on August 22nd. And then a new event that I'm really excited to celebrate, Saturday, August 31st, the Saturday of Labor Day weekend, from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Coconut Grove Cultural Arts Center, located at the Greater St. Paul AME Church, 3680 Thomas Avenue, right in the heart of Coconut Grove. And they are inaugurating the Coconut Grove Historic Black Heritage Music Series, the concert titled A Labor of Love. And it is going to be rhythm and blues and soul music sung by soul man Bobby Stringer with the Special Touch Band, the Ladies of Soul performing a Motown review, and Mr. Jazz Pizzazz, Mel Dancy, performing his work on the Baby Grand Piano at the church. Should be a wonderful new event. I'm thrilled that we'll be having yet another great, hopefully annual tradition here in Miami. And very last, this is Miami Spice Month. So if you've been dying to try some of Miami's best restaurants, our partners, colleagues, and dear friends at the Convention and Visitors Bureau have put together an unbelievable lineup once again of participating restaurants all over Miami-Dade County. So you can get lunch and dinners at a fraction of what you would otherwise have to pay. So no reason not to eat really, really well. And that's what I've got.
Deborah, where can we find out more information?
At miamidadearts.org. That's all one word, miamidadearts.org.
Deborah Margol always has great information for us on our arts calendar. She's the Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs.
Thank you so much and great weekend.
Thanks so much, Ed.
WLRN and WKWM Public Radio presents Florida Keys Museum and Attractions Weekend, a family event, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Visit WLRN.org to get your admission pass. 21 museums and attractions are included. The Bass Museum of Art presents Hot Nights, Cool Jazz tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. featuring the Miami Saxophone Quartet, anchored by compositions and arrangements from Grammy-nominated writers Gary Lindsay and Ed Kaye. The fantastic Miami Saxophone Quartet explores the realms of jazz, chamber music, pop, Latin, and R&B. The group also includes Gary Keller and Mike Brignola. And tonight we'll be joined by Jim Gazier on piano, John Yarling drums, and Gary Thomas on bass. Go to bassmuseum.org for more information. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Judith Bishop, Norman Van Aken, and Deborah Margol. Call us. We'd like to hear your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us at 305-995-2221 or email us your event info to info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please always keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.